we shall hear the whole story of the Lord's Passion as written by Matthew. And I intend to read it not from the version that you have on your pew Bibles, but in the translation by Professor Tom Wright, who was until very recently the Bishop of Durham. So hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests. "What will you give me," he said, "to hand him over to you?" They agreed upon 30 pieces of silver. From that moment on, he was watching for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples said to Jesus, "Where do you want us to get the Passover ready for you to eat it?" "Go into the city," he said, "to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is very close. I'm going to keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had told them and got the Passover ready. When evening came, he settled down with the 12. As they were eating, he said, "I'm telling you the truth. One of you will betray me." They were extremely upset and began to say one by one, "It's not me, is it, Lord? It's one who's dipped his hand with me in the dish," Jesus replied. "That's the one who will betray me. The Son of Man is on his way, as the Bible said it would happen. But it's misery for the man who hands him over. It would be better for that man if he'd never be born." At this, Judas, who was planning to betray him, said, "It isn't me, is it, teacher?" "You just said so," he replied. As they were eating, Jesus took some bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples. "Take it and eat it," he said. "This is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them. "Drink this, all of you," he said. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. But let me tell you this, I will not drink any more from this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in the kingdom of my Father." They sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You're all going to stumble and fall tonight because of me. That is what the Bible says, you see. I shall strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I'm raised up, I shall go on ahead of you to Galilee." "Even if everyone else trips and falls," said Peter in reply to him, "I'm never going to do that." "I'm telling you the truth," said Jesus to him. "This very night, before the cock has crowed, you will deny me 3 times. "Even if I have to die with you," said Peter to him, "I won't ever deny you." And all the disciples said the same. So Jesus went with them to the place called Gethsemane. "You sit here," he said to the disciples, "while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee with him and began to be very upset and distressed. "My soul is overwhelmed with grief," he said, "even unto death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Then, going a little further on, he fell on his face and prayed. "My Father," he said, "if it's possible, please, please let this cup go away from me. But not what I want, but what you want." He came back to the disciples and found them asleep. "So," he said to Peter, "couldn't you keep watch with me for a single hour? Watch and pray so that you don't get pulled down into the time of testing. The spirit is eager, but the body's weak." Again, for the second time, he went off and said, "My Father, if it's not possible for this to pass unless I drink it, let your will be done." Again he came and found them asleep. Their eyes were heavy. Once more he left them and went away. He prayed for the third time, using the same words once again. Then he came back to the disciples. "You can sleep now and have a good rest. Look, the time has come, and the Son of Man is given over into the hands of wicked people. Get up and let's be going. Look, here he comes, the one who's going to betray me." While Jesus was still speaking, there was Judas, one of the 12. He had come with a large crowd, with swords and clubs, from the chief priests and elders of the people. "The one who was intending to betray him gave them a sign. The one I kiss, that's him. Grab hold of him." So he went up at once to Jesus and said, "Greetings, teacher," and kissed him. "My friend," said Jesus, "what are you doing here?" Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. At that, one of the men with Jesus reached out his hand, drew his sword, and hit the high priest's slave, cutting off his ear. "Put your sword back where it belongs," said Jesus to him. "People who use the sword die by the sword. Don't you realize that I could call on my Father and have him send me more than 12 legions of angels? Just like that." But how then can the Bible come true when it says this has to happen? At that time Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you really come out with swords and sticks to arrest me, as if I was some kind of brigand? I sat there teaching the temple every day, and you didn't arrest me. But all this has happened so that what the prophet said in the Bible would be fulfilled." Then all the disciples abandoned him and ran away. The people who had arrested Jesus took him off to Caiaphas, the high priest. The scribes and elders had already gathered at his house. Peter, however, followed him at some distance, all the way to the high priest's residence. He went in and sat with the servants to see how things would work out. The high priest and the whole council tried to produce false evidence against Jesus, to frame a capital charge and have him killed. But even though they brought in plenty of lying witnesses, they couldn't find the evidence they wanted. Finally, two people came forward and declared, "This fellow said, 'I can destroy God's temple and build it again in 3 days.'" Then the high priest stood up. "Aren't you going to answer?" he said to him. "What are these people accusing you of?" But Jesus remained silent. Then the high priest said to him, "I put you on oath before the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, God's son." "You said the words," replied Jesus. "But let me tell you this. From now on, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his robes. He's blasphemed, he said. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, you've heard this blasphemy here and now. What's your verdict? He deserves to die, they answered. Then they spat in his face and hit him. Some of them slapped him and said, prophesy for us, Mr. Messiah. Who was it who hit you? Meanwhile, Peter sat outside in the courtyard. One of the servant girls came up to him. You were with Jesus the Galilean too, weren't you? She said. He denied it in front of everyone. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. He went out to the gateway. Another girl saw him and said to the people who were there, this fellow is with Jesus the Nazarene. Once more he denied it, this time swearing, I don't know that man. After a little while, the people standing around came up and said to Peter, you really are one of them. Look, the way you talk makes it obvious. And then he began to curse and swear, I don't know the man. Then, all at once, the cock crowed, and Peter remembered. He remembered the words Jesus had spoken to him. Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. And he went outside and cried like a baby. Dawn broke. All the chief priests and elders of the people held a council meeting about Jesus in order to have him put to death. They tied him up, took him off, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. Meanwhile, Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that he had been condemned and was filled with remorse. He took the 30 pieces of silver back to the high priests and elders. I've sinned, he said. I betrayed an innocent man. Now I've got blood, his blood, on my hands. See if we care, they replied. It's your problem. And he threw down the money in the temple and left and went and hanged himself. Oh no, said the chief priests, picking up the money. According to the law, we can't put it into the temple treasury because it's got blood on it. So they had a discussion and used it to buy the potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. That's why that field is called Blood Field to this day. Then the word that was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet came true. They took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of the one who was valued by the children of Israel, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord instructed me. So Jesus stood in front of the governor. Are you the king of the Jews? The governor asked him. If you say so, said Jesus. The chief priests and elders poured out their accusations against him, but he made no answer. Then Pilate said to him, don't you hear all this evidence they're bringing against you? He gave him no answer, not even a word, which quite astonished the governor. Now the governor had a custom. At festival time he chose to release one prisoner for the crown, whoever they chose. Just then they had a famous prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So when the people were all gathered there, Pilate said to them, who do you want me to release for you? Jesus Barabbas or Jesus the so-called Messiah? He knew that they'd handed him over out of sheer envy. While he was presiding in the court, his wife sent a message to him. "Don't have anything to do with that man," she said. "He's innocent. I've had a really bad time today in a dream, all because of him." The high priest and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. So when the governor came back to them again and asked, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" they said, "Barabbas." "So what shall I do with Jesus, the so-called Messiah?" asked Pilate. "Let him be crucified," they all said. "Why?" asked Pilate. "What's he done wrong?" But they all shouted all the louder, "Let him be crucified." Pilate saw that it was no good. In fact, there was a riot brewing. So he took some water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I'm not guilty of this man's blood," he said. "It's your problem." "Let his blood be on us," answered all the people, "and on our children." Then Pilate released Barabbas for them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the barracks and gathered the whole regiment together. They took off his clothes and dressed him up in a scarlet military cloak. They wove a crown out of thorns and stuck it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. Then they knelt down in front of him. "Greetings, King of the Jews," they said, making fun of him. They spit on him. Then they took the reed and beat him about the head. When they had finished mocking him, they took off the cloak, dressed him in his own clothes again, and led him off to crucify him. As they were going out, they found a man from Cyrene called Simon. They forced him to carry his cross. When they came to the place called Golgotha, which means skull place, they gave him a drink of wine mixed with bitter herbs. When he tasted it, he refused to drink it. So they crucified him. They divided up his clothes by casting lots, and they sat down and kept watch over him there. And they placed the written charge above his head, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." Then they crucified two brigands alongside him, one on his right and one on his left. The people who were going by shouted blasphemies at Jesus. They shook their heads at him. "So," he said, "you were going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, were you? Save yourself if you're God's son. Come down from the cross." Chief priests too, and the scribes and the elders mocked him. "He rescued others," they said, "but he can't rescue himself." "All right, so he's the king of Israel. Well, let him come down from the cross right now, and then we'll really believe he is." He trusted in God. Let God deliver him now, if he's that keen on him. After all, he did say he was God's son. The brigands who were crucified alongside him heaped insults on him as well. From noon until mid-afternoon, there was darkness over the whole land. About the middle of the afternoon, Jesus shouted in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, "My God, my God, why did you abandon me?" Some of the people who were standing there heard it and said, "This fellow's calling Elijah." One of them ran at once and got a sponge. He filled it with vinegar, put it on a reed and gave him a drink. The others said, "Wait a bit. Let's see if Elijah is going to come and rescue him." But Jesus shouted out loudly one more time and then breathed his last breath. At that instant, the temple curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks were split, and the tombs burst open. Many bodies of the sleeping holy ones were raised. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city, where they appeared to several people. When the centurion and the others with them, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and the things that happened, they were scared out of their wits. "He really was God's son," they said. This is the passion of our Lord. No sermon, but I leave you with just these words from the Gospel to hold in your hearts and your minds throughout Holy Week. It isn't me, is it? I invite you to sit for our intercessions.
Lord, we approach this most solemn week with a mixed bag of emotions and thoughts. We have just observed Lent to a greater or lesser extent, and have exercised some disciplines, probably less than we intended or should have. And now we are, with you, making the final approach to Jerusalem, among cheering crowds who welcome you openly, laying palms on your path, welcoming you as the King of Israel, David's royal son, but completely unaware of the significance of what is about to happen. So, Lord, we pray that in this holiest of weeks we may walk with you, learn from you, and be ready to receive from you your love and forgiveness, bequeathed to us at such a terrible price. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, in this week you met with betrayal and denial by your friends. Judas in delivering you to the authorities. Peter in conversation with strangers in a courtyard. Lord, we beg your forgiveness if we, in any way, however trivially, do likewise. May we always bear open, willing, and joyful witness to you and to your presence in the world and in our lives. We pray for the leaders of all Christian churches, for our own archbishops and bishops. May they be true and faithful pastors and teachers. We pray for all members of our own ministry team, giving grateful thanks for their work over these months of interregnum. And we pray for Lindsay Hammond, soon to be leading our cluster of three parishes. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus, you washed the disciples' feet, performing the duties of a servant. Help us in our daily lives to be the servant of others, passing on as a free gift your love and healing power to those whom we encounter in our own journeys. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, as you left the Passover meal with your friends, your final walk to your place of suffering began. On this journey you encountered authorities, powers and individuals who felt challenged and threatened by you, and whose only response was to attempt to silence you. We pray for all who exercise power and judgment in our country. ministers of the crown, members of parliament, leaders of authorities, both national and local, and of the armed forces, that they may exercise justice with mercy and truth as their guides. We pray for our Queen and give thanks for the example of service that she sets. Also for her family and their safety in the forthcoming time of celebration. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, as you submitted to your trial and was then humiliated and led through the streets of Jerusalem, you were surrounded and mocked by the soldiers of an occupying power. We pray that those who still make Jerusalem a background of politics may cease their warring and work in peace and harmony to the glory of the one created God. We give thanks for those in all sides in this conflict who have the courage and honesty to work for justice and peace in this area. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, in the darkness of your hours upon the cross, even you succumbed to the pain of desolation and isolation. We pray that, through the power of the Holy Spirit, your support and healing touch may be brought to those caught up in the distress of sickness, pain, or just loneliness. May they have relief and healing from their suffering, and guide us, if we are so suited, to be channels of ministry and comfort. And especially we name George Callow, Felicity Edwards, and Margarita Hudd, and any others known to us individually. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, in your physical death, you finally and completely overcame and defeated the powers of darkness and evil, giving the promise of eternal communion with you and the Father. And so, whilst we are sad and mourn the loss of loved ones and friends departed this life, we still give thanks for their lives and presence among us. Especially we name Susan Ludlow, Frank DeVoyle, John Knight, and from our Book of Remembrance, Phyllis Naylor, Rosalind Hugins, and others in our Book of Remembrance who died around this time of year and whose memory is precious to us. Lord, in your mercy. So, with St. Mildred and all your saints, we say, Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.